Welcome to Philanthropy Today. Our goal is to inspire giving by educating listeners on ways to give and how to connect with charitable causes. My name is Dave Lewis. I'm your host of Philanthropy Today. Thank you for joining the show. Well, we're continuing our series on philanthropy today and visiting with some of the presidents that have had that capacity at the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation over the last 24, 25 years, Vern Henriques. Mm-hmm. And we've got one of my favorite people in town, Tom Fryer, joining us. And it's an honor to have you here. And this is a guy that just speaks community.
Well, Tom has been a part of the Community Foundation for a long time, if not day one, and certainly served as our board chair from 2007 and 8. But I failed to recall how many years he was board treasurer, but certainly a significant factor in myself being the leader of the Community Foundation right now. And so I'm very grateful for Tom and what he's done, not only for the community, but for the Community Foundation in general and serving our country as part of the Air Force as well.
Well, I'm very honored to be here, especially in the company of the two of you who I've admired for a long time. And like you say, Dave, we've known each other for a long time. Actually, when I first started, and that, of course, was 1999, I think. Yeah. I was on the investment committee at that time, you know, and then later on being the 1 year as the president, and then winding up as treasurer, you know.
That's right.
And finally, you know, I told you when you came on that you needed somebody a little more competent, but you know, things have worked out through the years, so.
Did you feel like you got demoted going from president to treasurer, or is it more of in your field?
Well, now I need to include one of the current staff members. When Marla came on board, you know, being working for a bank, you know, I was treasurer of a number of organizations in the community. When Marla came on, boy, that was, you know, I'd have to make a presentation at a board meeting. So I'd meet with her the day before. And all I had to remember is for 24 hours what she told me I could mention at the board. That was, no, the treasurer was a very interesting job. And in those days, I mean, you know, 07, 08, you're looking for financial support. I know one of the earlier people doing this spent some time talking about the Founders Fund, mm-hmm. and that Founders Fund was critical to, I think, each one of those donors gave $10,000.
Correct.
And it was endowed. You know, a lot of people maybe that are listening don't realize the difference between endowed and expendable funds. But, I mean, they were endowed. All we could do was spend the interest. And to this day, I mean, you see that that Founders Fund is part of the budget. And I mean, that gave us a good start in addition to something else I want to mention here in a little bit. So.
Well, one of the things that stands out to me about that time frame, and maybe it was it came along a little after, but we had a real struggling economy as a nation.
That's a good point.
Right in around that time frame.
That's a good point, yes.
And, you know, that obviously impacted, you know, nonprofits. It impacted foundations. It impacted everybody.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And I don't know if that was during your term as president, but I'm sure that was impactful whenever.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a good point. Besides that Founders Fund, though, the one that, and as I was, you know, thinking about reflecting back on this time period, the Kansas Health Foundation, I don't know if we would have been in the situation we are right now if it hadn't been for them and those matching grants that they had.
And they were certainly significant for the health and well-being of the Community Foundation's operating fund. And yeah, that 2008 year, your president year, the last part of your president's years when we had the market downturn that was pretty significant there at some point in time.
So. The one I remember was the goal was $600,000.
Yeah.
And we had to raise $300,000. And then if we met that, then we'd get the additional 300. Well, we were in the 11th hour of that campaign. And we were just a little over 200,000. I was looking at the, and it still appears, I think, in the annual report under is there a, like a legacy section or something?
Right, right.
But there's an individual by the name of Harry Jacobson that played a significant role in it. This is back to my days when I was working at Commerce Bank. He came into our bank, approached the receptionist, and said, I want to buy some Kansas municipal bonds. I mean, he'd heard that he didn't have to pay federal and state taxes on it. She sent him to our president, who at the time was Ted Haggard. Ted found out what he wanted, brought him to my office, and I said, yeah, I can help you with that. But we're filling out the paperwork, and his wife had passed away. He had no children, just distant nieces and nephews. And I explained to him that, well, if I fill it out in your name, and he was up in age, mm-hmm. that if upon your passing, if it's just in your name only, it'll go into probate. And I said, but there's a way we can avoid it. And I happened to have a brochure mm-hmm. from the Community Foundation on my desk. And I explained the advantages of it. And he said, well, that sounds like a pretty good idea, because he, you know, liked the community. And so there was a provision that we could do, fill out the account as a POD, payable upon death. And sure enough, we completed that paperwork. And within a year, he passed away. And when got the death certificate and when the check came, I called, and I think it was Dirk Daveline that I called. And I said, Dirk, I think we made our $300,000 goal. Here's his name in there. There's probably a lot of people that look at that annual report and don't know who Harry Jacobson is. But, I mean, that's one of the contributions I think I've made to this organization. So,
well, you've made significant contributions mm-hmm. in a lot of respects, especially in terms of perspective and professional talents, you know, in the banking industry. Your legacy goes back long before you were retired colonel. Is that right?
Lieutenant colonel. Yes.
Okay. You're a retired lieutenant colonel. It seems to me, from what I know of you, Tom, that service to the nation continued on a more local level. Yes. When you became a professional advisor in a lot of respects, worked with Commerce Bank,
yes.
primarily on the investment side.
Yes.
And you became really embedded in a lot of nonprofit organizations. So you really had a keen perspective on what the foundation was hoping to achieve.
Well, you know, with my background coming here, you know, as indicated, you know, and I probably remiss not even mention this. If it had not been for my wife, Angie, and 54 plus years of marriage, there are a lot of people in this community I probably never met, you know, because right. that kind of expanded things. The chamber made a big pitch about, you know, the three-legged stool analogy that we had the university, we had the fort, and we had the community. It was that three-legged stool and all that. And, you know, and I had some experience in all three areas, which I was blessed. I mean, I truly have been blessed in my 80 plus years of living on this earth. So,
well, Tom, you mentioned Angie, and Angie was a significant part of the Community Foundation world with the Fairy Godmothers organization.
Yes.
That would have been about the time when the Fairy Godmothers were getting established too.
Yes.
In those days, and Angie was certainly a leader in that for several years. So,
well, thanks for mentioning that, because at her service in February, Kay Weigel mm-hmm. made special comments about Angie, and there had originally been several ladies on that grants committee, mm-hmm. and several of them had medical problems. And there was a period of time, 6, maybe even 9 months, where Angie was doing all that. And of course, she knew computers better than I did. So, but anyway, fairy godmothers and PEO. I gotta throw that in too. So.
Well, and the Fairy Godmother Fund is basically, it's a grant that we administer here. And the ladies got it started with to help women in need. And that fund now is significant growth, and not only in donations and the balances, but in Fairy Godmothers. And Angie would have been a very much part of that process.
Well, and of course, women helping women. I mean, there were just some really sad situations. Well, and then, you know, when the guys finally, you know, decided to get involved, and all we did was change the names.
Yep.
Dave, I want to pick up on one of your comments. So as I reflect back, my parents were my role models. My dad was very community involved. This is a legacy I follow. I'm deeply indebted to him for getting me started.
Yeah. I think that everyone that serves in its capacity has someone that they look back on and try to emulate.
Yes.
And try to continue that legacy, that tradition.
Yes.
Of giving back to community. So as president for a year, you know, you talked about that one significant gift for Mr. Jacobson.
Yeah.
What are some of the other things that that come to mind as you look back at that year?
Well, we started the year, we called ourselves the Manhattan Community Foundation. Mm-hmm. We had two, what we called affiliates at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, we were wanting to expand, and now we call them, I think, partners.
Partners.
But anyway, we had a retreat. Terry Arthur was on the board, and we had it up at Farm Bureau. And the one significant thing I think came out of it since we'd had those two affiliates was, well, let's add the word greater. I mean, Salina at that time, I think, was a greater Salina, and we should be the greater Manhattan to expand our focus, you know. And then there were some initiatives that maybe we should get Wamego and Junction City involved. Mm-hmm. And there were some people that had played football for Manhattan High, and you know, that rivalry with Junction City. And there were even some comments, we'll never get them in. And of course, this gentleman to my left has done some magic things in this foundation. And here they're, 21?
20. Today we have 20 partners going on 21, yes.
So. Yes, which has been... Well, and then the expansion, too. I mean, like I say, okay, so we changed the name. Big deal. But I think that was significant. Mm. But I also go back to that time period when our assets were less than $10 million. And look at them now. You know, and again, another point I would really like to make, and you two are great examples of this, is leadership. You know, organizations need strong leadership, but leaders with character. And if you have that, and of course, Vern, this is a preacher talking to the choir now, you know, trust. I mean, if donors don't trust you,
correct,
they're not going to do anything. So I think that, and another thing, another individual that is right up there is one of my role models is C. Clyde Jones. Hmm. I mean, I was fortunate to know them in church, in Rotary. I mean, he needs to be cloned. He's just a marvelous, marvelous individual. In fact, when I was getting out of the Air Force, the first person I went to advise was C. Clyde Jones.
Well, Tom, your leadership here has been had several moments of influence on the Community Foundation as an original board member. As a president, as a treasurer, and even Angie, and working with the Fairy Godmothers at that point in time, and we're certainly very appreciative of all the efforts that you've had. And from a personal point of view, like I said earlier, you were one of the individuals that introduced the Community Foundation in my thought process as a career, and I'm forever grateful for that process.
Well, I thank you for those comments. As I say, I'm truly, truly blessed with the people I've known, and that includes the two of you, and just thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you for joining us for Philanthropy Today, an inside look at the Greater Manhattan Community Foundation. You can always learn more about the GMCF at our website, mcfks.org. We also invite you to subscribe to Philanthropy Today on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Dave Lewis. I'm proud to host Philanthropy Today. It's hosted and produced in the Ad Astra Cast Studios in downtown Manhattan, Kansas.